It's KUOW's The Record. I'm Bill Radke. The list keeps growing of powerful men who sexually exploit women. Today, CBS fired journalist Charlie Rose after several women said Rose made lewd phone calls, walked around them naked, groped their bodies. Rose says he's greatly embarrassed, but also says, quote, "I always felt that I was pursuing shared feelings, even though I now realize I was mistaken." He was mistaken, which sounds just like a man. We're too simple-minded to understand women, right, Jerry Seinfeld?
I bet you women would like to know what men are really thinking. The truth, the honest truth of what men are really thinking. Because I could tell you. Would you like to know? All right, I'll tell you. Nothing.
Yeah, we're thinking nothing. We're guileless. We're clueless. Maybe a little blameless.
We like women. We want women. But that's pretty much as far as we thought. That's why we're honking car horns, yelling from construction sites. These are the best ideas we've had so far.
People laugh because these ideas are recognizable. You can call it the myth of the male bumbler. And actually, it's no joke. It's what my next guest calls it, the myth of the male bumbler. Lily Loofborough is a culture critic at The Week. Lily, welcome to KUOW.
Thanks for having me.
Will you tell us more about the male bumbler myth?
Sure, yeah. So I think the male bumbler is one of the most muscular stereotypes we have. It's the sitcom dad. It's the guy from the commercials who can't work his lawnmower, his washing machine. And it's a weird story that we have about men in American culture that presumes that despite the fact that men occupy the vast majority of leadership roles and are entrusted with the most positions of power, they're also, and at the same time, lovably clueless incompetence. So yeah. The bumbler has become this kind of convenient myth for a lot of very powerful men to hide behind when there's evidence of their wrongdoing.
How do men get away with that myth being persistent at the same time they, as you say, supposedly perpetuate the idea that they're more competent in the workplace?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just so pervasive in pop culture that it's become one of those cultural scripts that we kind of run in the background of our brains. And so, you know, one of the most egregious recent examples to me was the bumbler doesn't know things even when he's been directly informed of them. So Vice President Mike Pence is a great example because to this day he maintains that he had just no idea that former National Security Advisor Mike Flynn was lobbying for a foreign power, even though Flynn told him in January and Pence got a letter about it back in November. But Pence has been acting very surprised. Surely not, really? And it's a testament to the power of the bumbler myth that it asks us to believe that the vice president of the United States is just that incompetent.
And you're saying the male bumbler myth acts beyond gender in this case. But Lily, the stereotypes come from somewhere. Where is the grain of truth, if any, in this stereotype?
I think the grain of truth is that there are genuinely awkward people who don't know how to behave. Always around others, but I think there's a crucial distinction usually between people who are genuinely bumblers and don't know how to handle themselves, and that they do it with the powerful and the powerless alike. They do it with men and with women. There's not this strange, calculated targeting of people who are powerless behind the scenes.
Well, Charlie Rose, who I mentioned, claimed that he misread these women's intentions. Is that also an underlying stereotype that women are hard to read?
Yes, I think so. So the bumbler guy, he's always amazed and surprised to discover that he had any power at all and that he was perceived as using it, right? The idea is that he would never be using it deliberately. So if something bad happened between a man and a woman, it must have been a misunderstanding. But Charlie Rose, who said, as you said, like he was pursuing shared feelings, that's his account, but he allegedly exposed himself to unsuspecting coworkers that he lured to his home or to his hotel, and he did this regularly. It was a known routine. Like one woman was mocked for falling for the, quote, shower trick. You know, this was a pattern. So, yes, it's possible that Charlie Rose really thought that every woman he left working while he went to shower wanted him to flash her, even though one of them broke down crying, but you have to remember that this is a guy whose professional reputation is as a careful, insightful interviewer. So either you're world-renowned for being a perceptive, intellectual reader of people, or you're totally new to how human faces work. You don't get to have it both ways.
Yes, you pointed out that Harvey Weinstein and Louis C.K. and Al Franken, these people didn't get successful by being bumblers.
That's right. They've shown themselves to be enormously competent social networkers who've built really successful careers, and you have to know something about people and be able to work them pretty well in order to climb the career ladder the way that all of these very successful, wealthy men have.
Well, Lily, you also quote a writer in your column, the Myth of the Male Bumbler. You quote a writer who says that women do frequently say one thing and mean another and display reactions that don't match their feelings. And this writer says that that's survival behavior. Will you explain that?
Yeah, that was a really interesting Twitter thread that gave me a lot to think about. So Holden Shearer is the author of that thread, and what he was saying is that one of the kind of lowbrow comedy routines that you see all the time in comedy clubs is the idea that men don't know what women want, and that it's because women are kind of inscrutable and their behavior is impossible to detect. And his argument is that that's true and it's not funny, that the reason that women do this, the reason that they smile when they're trapped in a bathroom with a man who is not letting them out, is that that's a survival behavior. You have to do a certain amount of social navigating to not offend your boss, to not be immediately fired, to not have your professional reputation destroyed, which is what has happened to so many of the women who've been targeted by these men.
Do both genders plead ignorance equally if they think that's going to save them? Is this just a male manifestation of a human response to evade and plead ignorance?
I mean, I think there are definitely female versions of it, like the dits.
The dits.
But I think that the dits certainly doesn't have the same amount of cultural power,
right,
either structurally or in pop culture, that men do. And certainly has not been able to victimize nearly as many people as this narrative we have about men being both, you know, kind of the only gender entrusted to have really difficult, responsible positions and also simultaneously too incompetent to be held responsible for anything they do.
How effective is this defense, given that Charlie Rose and Harvey Weinstein and Bill O'Reilly and Roger Ailes and Anthony Weiner all lost their jobs, and Bill Cosby's disgraced, and Woody Allen makes movies, but he's not well-regarded particularly. So how effective is this defense today?
Well, I mean, Donald Trump is president.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, what I would say is that they have been getting away with this strange performance of incompetence for a very, very long time, and this is a really strange moment because there is some accountability. What's interesting looking back is how all of these men actually, while pretending to be social incompetents, were running really sophisticated social campaigns to destroy their victims' reputations behind the scenes. So, like, you know, Harvey Weinstein hired ex-Mossad agents to spy on his victims and keep them quiet. He started whisper campaigns to end their careers. Roger Ailes videotaped women in compromising positions so he could destroy them if they went up against him. And Bill O'Reilly allegedly called one of his victims to try to make her give him dirt on another one who was going to go public. So, you know, they have a lot of PR strategies that they have been running in the background for a long time. And the most powerful one is trying to convince their audiences that you could be next. This could happen to anyone. Anyone could accidentally harass and then have their career destroyed.
So,
and that's the power of the Bumbler myth, is that if these men succeed at convincing people that there was no plan here, that this was all just spontaneous and a misunderstanding, it actually really feeds paranoia, right?
Yeah.
And in the, yeah.
Well, Lily, what steps do you take personally? You've obviously thought about this a lot. What do you do to fight back against the strength of the male bumbler myth and maybe others?
One of the big lessons for me with the recent sort of months of really disturbing revelations has been to realize, you know, just how much I lack objectivity, how many powerful cultural scripts I have running in the back of my head without realizing that I'm running them and that they're guiding my thinking and governing my assumptions. And so, you know, I think I grew up with, you know, this idea that women are deceptive and sneaky and venomous and that men are kind of guileless and innocent and dopey. And I think that's deeply insulting to men and women alike, for one thing. But I think, you know, that there's kind of a controversial proposition lurking there, which is that men are capable of being every bit as sneaky and calculating and venomous as women are widely suspected to be. And if we can actually learn or unlearn, I guess, our blindness to these male manipulative behaviors, that will take us a long way towards coming to some kind of honest reckoning of what's happening right now, because this is confusing and upsetting and hard.
Lily Loofborough, culture critic at The Week. I really appreciate what you wrote, and thanks for coming on with us to talk about the myth of the male bumbler. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
And men, I'm curious what you're doing differently, too. Tell us, record@kuow.org is our email address, record@kuow.org, or leave us a message, 206-221-3663, 206-221-3663.